Good morning. Welcome to our Savior in Port Huron. Today is April 19th, 2026, and is the third Sunday of Easter. Today our worship leader is the Reverend Dr. Roxy Davis. I'm Jack today. We are without our vocalist, so I'm going to ask that for the gathering hymn, today's gospel begins with two disciples walking to Emmaus, overcome with sadness, loss, and disappointment. They had hoped Jesus, who was crucified, be the one to redeem Israel. Yet the risen Christ walks with them and then opens their eyes in the breaking of the bread. Each Sunday, our hearts burn within us as the scriptures are proclaimed, and Christ appears to us as bread is broken and wine is poured. The story of him becomes the pattern of our worship each Lord's Day.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen.
Christ is risen indeed.
Hallelujah. Let us sing together our gathering hymn, Christ the Lord is risen today. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, who forgives all sins, whose mercy endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin before God, who removes our guilt and blots out all offenses. Gracious God, have mercy on us according to your steadfast love. We've all sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. Forgive us for our misplaced desires. Forgive us for our blindness to your will. Forgive us for our shortcomings and failures in living out your commands. We confess all our sins, those as well as those we have forgotten. Inspire and strengthen us by your Holy Scripture, your sacraments, and your church across the entire world. May we never hesitate to turn to you in repentance. God's steadfast love, grace, and forgiveness abound. Through faith, the free gift of God, you have been clothed in the righteousness of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. The Spirit of the one who raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, pours God's love into your heart, gives you life and peace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit is with you all. Let us pray together. O God, your Son makes himself known to all his disciples in the breaking of bread. Open the eyes of our faith that we may see him in his redeeming work, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, God, now and forever. Amen.
Today's first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2. Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let the entire house of Israel know with certainty that God has made him both Lord and Messiah, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter said to them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him. And he testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. This is the word of the Lord. Today's psalm is Psalm 160, and the antiphon is, I will call on the name of the Lord. I love the Lord, who has heard my voice and listened to my supplication. For the Lord has given ear to me whenever I called. The cords of death entangled me. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I came to grief and sorrow. Then I called upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray you, save my life. I will call on the name of the Lord. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things God has done for me? I will lift the cup of salvation and call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. Precious in your sight, O Lord, is the death of your servants. O Lord, truly I am your servant. I am your servant, the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the Lord. I will call on the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all God's people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, hallelujah, I will call on the name of the Lord. Thank you. Today's second reading is from Peter's first, the one who judges impartially according to each person's work. Live in fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed from the conduct inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world. And hope are in God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual affection, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring word of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Alleluia. Our hearts burn within us while you open to us the scriptures. The gospel reading is from Luke 24, verses 13 through 35. And I have asked Jack to take the part of Jesus and that narration, and I will take the part of Cleopas and his friend on the road to Emmaus.
Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing?
Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?"
"What things?" he asked.
"About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. For what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus."
He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to where they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight.
They asked each other, "Up," and returned at once to Jerusalem.
There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true, the Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon Peter."
Then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. This is Let's pray together. In Scripture, we give you for those events around that first Easter morning. Lord God, we ask that you would open our hearts to say to us what we need to hear, what you want us to hear. Lord God, bless us with your presence. We pray this in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a funny story to tell you. I always hope that when it's funny, and if you do laugh, that kind of breaks down some of the barriers that we have to hear tough things that are preached or said. So here's the story. A four-year-old spilled his drink on the rug, and he wanted to clean the mess up himself, so his mother told him that the mop was just outside the back door. Quickly, he ran to the door, and then he noticed that it was really dark outside. And suddenly scared, he told his mother what the problem was. Now, assuring him, his mom told him that Jesus is everywhere, even in dark places, and that Jesus would always protect him. This put a smile on his face, so he opened the door just enough to poke his head outside, and he called out, "Jesus, if you're there, could you hand me the mop?" Trust. Sometimes you and I are that four-year-old little boy. We stumble in the dark. We get fearful. We want to trust the living Lord, the resurrected Christ. So we ask God, help me to trust you in all things. Why preach on trust in the season of Easter? Because if we don't trust the truth and the reality of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, Jesus ever present in our lives, we then do not have life. We're only stumbling in the dark. Unless we trust that Jesus is alive every day of our lives, and God in the end is in charge, the resurrection will have no sway in our lives, and we will miss faith. We will miss the peace and the joy and the hope that comes from faith and that Jesus brings. Really, when you think about it, the peace, assurance that God knows the way, joy, enjoying every single day, which God blesses us with, and hope that Jesus will hand us the tools we need to do what he wants us to do. It only happens when we trust the risen Lord, when we trust his presence, his provision, and his purpose in our lives. Most of you don't know my early childhood experiences, so I'm going to share a little of that. I had an earthly father whom I could not trust. I tried, but it wasn't easy. Sometimes we didn't know where my father was, what he was doing with his many pieces of property. He had friends that we did not know and really didn't care to know. Then there was the night that my father came home with a wound on his head without a good explanation. My trust in my earthly father was not much. But he did provide for the family, however crooked that might have been. I couldn't trust that my father would tell us the truth. Now, that lack of trust produced two things in my life. First, When I got married to my husband, Pastor Bill, of 54 years, the very first 5 years of our life, and my husband Bill probably would vouch for this, I questioned and I hesitated. I didn't always believe or trust what he said or what he did. Trust was really, really hard for me in relationships, especially the relationship I had with my husband. Secondly, from my whole life, I have worked on trusting others. And more importantly, trusting God, my true father. Trusting God, trusting the living, risen Lord, Jesus Christ, who promises to never leave us. And trusting the movement of the Holy Spirit in life and in the lives of others around me, as mysterious as that may be. Now, we have plenty of companions in the Bible in their lack of trust, their hesitancy, their need for proof in believing Jesus was raised from the dead, that God's presence and provision would lead them and lead us into the future. Just go home and read the last chapter of all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. It's the story of the resurrection. As I said, we have companions in the resurrection narrative when it comes to distrust and mistrust. We read in the Gospels that Jesus had told his disciples what would happen after his crucifixion. On the third day, he would rise, perhaps didn't believe it, and certainly they didn't trust it. In the events of the first Easter Sunday morning, not trusting gets played out. After seeing the empty tomb, the women, especially Mary Magdalene, go running to the disciples, telling them, Jesus is risen, the tomb is empty. And those disciples think that it's just idle talk from the women. Lack of trust, what the women said. Doubts are in the minds of the disciple Peter and the disciple John. They have to see for themselves. Oh, so often the proof has to come before we trust. So Peter and John run to the tomb, and that's in the Gospel of Luke, and find the grave clothes lying there, even folded up, as if there was intention about Jesus not being there and the tomb being empty. It was well thought out and intentional by God. It was not a messy escape or that the disciples had stolen the body, even though some even today believe that. But the tomb is empty. Both men, Peter and John, leave the tomb befuddled. Then we have our gospel reading for today. Be there and be the Messiah, the one that they had been waiting for. So they have this encounter with Jesus on the Emmaus Road. They talk with Jesus, whom they do not recognize. They tell him about the women's witness to the empty tomb, about Peter's discovery also. And then even when Jesus speaks to their hearts, telling of all the ancient writings that tell about him as God's chosen, the Messiah, they still have their doubts. It is not until Jesus breaks bread, as we are going to do today, that they recognize him and trust his presence. They believe. They trust what they hear and who they see in Jesus, and they go and tell the others. Then we have disciple Thomas, which oftentimes we call Doubting Thomas. When Jesus appears a second time to the disciples behind closed doors, Thomas is there saying that he will not believe, even though the other disciples do believe. They've already seen Jesus one other time when Thomas was not there. Thomas will not believe, not trust, until he sees the nail prints in his hands and he can feel the sword that went, or at least the wound that is in his side. So when Jesus realizes that, he acquiesces and shows him. And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." He believes. He trusts. But he needed physical proof. Jesus says to Thomas and to all of us, "Blessed are those who have not seen, yet believe." Now that is trust. Oh, how many of us, and how many of us do that we dwell with neighbors and friends who do not trust that? How many need proof? We have proof. Trust until we experience God, when God shows up in some kind of event in our lives or in the lives of others, when the Holy Spirit moves and shows us who God is. Trust is the key to faith, and faith is the key to peace, and lack trust in the events of that first Easter. But I would be amiss if I didn't tell you there were plenty of people who did trust, or eventually trusted this reality of the risen Lord on that first Easter morn. Mary Magdalene and the other women, they're carrying their spices and they're going to the tomb, and they trust that that stone will be rolled away, and it is. And then they see these men in sparkling clothes and angels. And the women do what they tell them to do. The angels say to them, "Go and tell the disciples that Jesus will meet them in Galilee." And the disciples finally trust, and they go to Galilee. They meet Jesus, not just as the crucified Redeemer, but as the risen Lord. And the Emmaus Road trust what they see in the man Jesus, who breaks bread in front of them, and they recognize him. They trust what they hear, what they see, and what they feel, because they say, "Weren't our hearts burning within us when he interpreted the scriptures to us?" In all of this, God is saying to all of us, just trust me. I've sent my son to lead you, especially when the pavement's crooked, when the road is bumpy, and even when the asphalt is smooth. Jesus, the risen Lord, is right here by your side. Just I have worked all my life others, and more importantly, to trust God. So I tell you this, a real live example of trust in my life. It was about a year ago that my two friends, Barb Wright and Sue Brackensberry, encouraged me and convinced me that I should go downtown Port Huron to the Lions Club fundraiser, which included a trust walk around downtown Port Huron. They, the Lions Club, partnering with the Prowlers, the hockey team, hometown hockey team, and together they were raising funds for the community and for those in need. Part of the fundraiser was this trust walk, perhaps indicating that we needed to trust them to use our money wisely to invest in the community and in those in need. Now, a trust walk, you know, where they blindfold a person, me, and I am led by another person, a young man, a Prowler, I'll call him Josh, someone I had never met. I kept saying to myself, just trust him. On a trust walk, the person leads you sometimes through an obstacle course, but this time it was in the streets of downtown Port Huron. Because you're blindfolded and you have no idea where you're going, you just have to trust the person who's leading you, and you have to trust that they will lead you by the hand and not leave your side. To trust that they tell you what is ahead. Perhaps feet are feeling on the pavement or the gravel that you're walking on. During the trust walk, Josh, when he was explaining to me what the surroundings were, he would often kindly say to me, just trust me. I know where I'm going. I know what I'm doing. When the trust walk ended, I was overjoyed that I had trusted another human being that I didn't even know. And weeks later, I reflected on that trust walk, thinking about Jesus, our risen Lord, the one who wants so deeply to lead us through the trust walk of life, through our desperate times, our joyous times, our doubtful times. The risen Lord Jesus Christ says to all of us, just trust me. For it is Jesus says, I know the way. It says in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And at the end of the Gospel of John, chapter 20, it says, these things have been written so that you may trust that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, and by trusting in him, you may have life in his name, abundant. Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed. Let us trust those words. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us sing together, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, which is in your bulletin. trusting in the power of Christ's resurrection to heal and redeem our broken world. Let us pray for the needs of all creation.
Living Savior, just as you journeyed with the disciples to Emmaus, accompany us on our journey of faith. Gather us at your table, that we recognize you in the breaking of the bread. Merciful God. Almighty God, you provide for the needs of all creation. Bless the fields that are being prepared for planting, and send favorable weather so that the soil may yield an abundant harvest. Merciful God. God of justice, where leaders abuse power, confront them and call them to repentance. Where there is corruption, bring integrity. Where there is violence, sow peace. Merciful God. Healing Savior, your resurrection brings hope to a hurting world. Heal those who are sick. Especially we pray for the family and friends of Coralie Clark and Milan McGinty. Strengthen the weary, give courage to the despairing, and comfort the dying. Merciful God. Gracious One, you have made us your own through the gift of baptism. Unite us in genuine love for one another and uphold this community in your name. Merciful God.
And it is here, Lord God, that we ask for your blessing and your companionship and your love in the world, in this country, in this community. Lord God, we pray this, that you would heal all of us. Eternal life, we give thanks for all who have nurtured your church's life in age past. Bring us at last with them to the brightness of your glorious presence. Merciful God, God of resurrection power, use us and these prayers to proclaim the good news of new life to all through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. The peace of Christ be with you always.
We'd like to thank you for your offering and you can give in person at the back of our church in the narthex, by mail, or online on our website. Merciful God, accept the fruits of our labor, gathered to give you glory. You have set a table before us, a glimpse of that great day when we will hunger and thirst no more. Nourish us with the body and blood of Jesus, that goodness and mercy may follow us and bless the world you love. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Prayer of giving. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, for the glorious resurrection of your Savior, Jesus Christ, the true Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection with and sea and all their creatures and with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim. We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, 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 Lord, Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He took bread and gave thanks. Do this in remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you do this, do it remembering me." With the bread and the cup, we remember our Lord's Passover from death to life as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. O God of resurrection and new life, pour out your Holy Spirit on us and on these gifts of bread and yeast. Grace our table with your presence. Come, Holy Spirit. Reveal yourself to us in the breaking of the bread. Raise us up as the body of Christ for the world. Breathe new life into us. Send us forth burning with justice, peace, and love. With your holy ones of all times and places, and with the earth and all its creatures, with sun and moon and stars, we praise you, O God. Blessed and Holy Trinity, now and forever. Amen. Come to the table of new life. Receive the risen Lord. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Let us pray together. Holy One, through this meal you have made your home among us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Let us repeat together what we believe in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. Please join me in the prayer that Jesus taught all of us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. God Almighty, who is the beginning and the end, Jesus Christ, the firstborn of the dead, and the Spirit, our advocate of peace, bless you now and forever. Amen. Let us sing together our sending hymn, Because He Lives.